Hello, everyone. Woohoo! Welcome. Welcome to this week's call. I'm super psyched about it. I just gave a whole talk to a bunch of life coaches about commitment and taking massive action. So I'm a little bit on fire about that right now. And so anyway, yeah, and you know, that's coming up in week six, which is in 2 days where we're going to start week six. So, you know, I'm going to kind of go off on that today, I think, because I'm just feeling it in the groove. So just a reminder for those of you that might be new to the calls, you want to press *2 to raise your hand, and then I can call on you for live coaching. Or you can type a question in the question and answer box, and I can get to you that way. I will say that it's super fun and tends to be a lot easier to get coached if you're raising your hand, because then we can actually talk. I can ask you more questions. But, you know, if you're not able to, I totally get it. Just type it in the Q&A box. Now, there was somebody that had really wanted to get coaching on a topic today, but their question was super, their schedule was super tight. And so I promised that I would ask them to raise their hand now, if they could. So press *2. And if you're available to get coached live, I'll do it. Okay, right on. So we're just going to dive right in. And then I'm going to like lay on the commitment stuff to you guys in a minute. Okay. All right. So hello, I've unmuted you. If you want to say your name, you can go ahead. But yeah, I'm ready to coach you. Let's do this.
Wendy Zupan, Spokane, Washington.
Hi.
Hi.
All right, lay it on me. What's going on?
I sent you a question via the text box in Q&A.
Yes, but since no one else can see that, I'm wondering if you could just give a recap.
Okay. So I have been in a 5.5-year long distance relationship with a guy, and having some issues with no solid end game to that in place, and his job and his current level of income has him on his own course, and he seems to not know how many more years that he will be there and that things will stay the same. And he doesn't love where he lives, and I don't want to move to where he lives because it's a big city. I just really don't want to deal with traffic and stuff like that. Nor does he want me to, because he doesn't think I'd be happy there. I've asked that we work together on laying out some plans so that we have a goal in mind for an end game, and his response is he isn't ready to set a date for living together because he simply doesn't see a workable plan. He wants to make X number of dollars after he leaves his job and have money to afford what he wants to do, to travel, et cetera, and he doesn't know how long that will take. So he complains of wasting his life away because he works in a cubicle, you know, making good money as a tech guy, and he has insurance and everything, and he says he wants to live with me, but he doesn't see a way to make it happen. So we've looked at a lot of houses together. We've looked at places to live outside of our cities, but never have solidified anything. So we have a great time when we're together. He's an adventurous guy. I really like hanging out with him. But I'm older, and I really don't want to live alone. I've lived alone for quite some time, and I don't want to just have some unknown amount of time. So there you have it. I need help, obviously.
Yeah. So I'm going to lay it out in a way, and you guys have seen, hopefully by now, the Thought Work module, where we talk about circumstances as neutral, right? And so, like, you know, from a neutral perspective, what I'm seeing here is you don't want to move to Seattle, and he likes living in Seattle and doesn't want to move to a smaller town right now. So you both are, like, you know, made your choices for those things for now. And you're thinking about the future and maybe a little bit of the present too, in terms of like tired of being alone. And you know, that's the part where we get out of the neutrality, right? Because it's like, oh, okay. So you don't want to move to Seattle and he doesn't want to move here or to your place right now. Like, those are just the facts, right? And then we create these thoughts around it. And one of your thoughts is, but I'm getting older and I don't want to live alone, or at least not have a plan for what's going to happen. Right?
Right.
Yeah. Correct. So here's the thing. If you had a plan, if he was like, in 5 years, like I will move in, or in 2 years I will move in. Would you feel better?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it kind of cut out there. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. There would be some kind of idea. Yeah.
Right. But here's the thing, and I want you guys to pay really close attention to this. The only reason you'd feel better is because you'd have a different thought.
Right.
If he said, oh, I'm going to move with you in 2 years, nothing fucking changed.
Right.
But you now have a different thought about what's already happening. You just have a different thought about it, right? So mm-hmm. I just want you to be aware, right? I'm not saying to not do anything and to not make requests, but I want you to be aware that the only reason you'd feel better is because you would have a different thought. Nothing would actually change, though. Your circumstance would not actually change. You just would have a different thought now because he said something, right?
Right.
So what would that new thought be? If he said, okay, I promise after I close up this year, I'm going to do one more year and then I'll move in with you.
It would be sort of a commitment.
So you'd have the thought, he's committed to me?
I would have that thought, yes.
Okay, and how does that thought make you feel?
Like he has desire to be together and he's serious about it. And it would make me, I would feel happy about that. I would feel important.
You feel important. Okay. So here's the deal, right, you guys? The reason that we choose certain things is because of how we think it's going to make us feel. And so you want him to say this to you or to do this for you really because of how it'll make you feel. You want to feel important, right?
To him, yes.
Yeah, you want to feel important to him. And so what I want to offer you, though, is that you can do that right now. Because if he says to you, I'm going to move in with you in a year and a half, and you feel better, it's because of a thought, right?
Right.
And how could you, because we like to think it's because he said that. We're like, no, it's because he said it, because he's going to do it. Right? But it's not. It's because of the thought we have, like, oh, see, he said that. That means that I'm important to him. Right? So then you feel important. Then you feel important to him. He's committed. I feel important to him. And then the thing is that you can feel important to him by just having different thoughts.
Okay.
It's not about making him do something. You're putting all of the power for how you feel in his hands. You're like, I'm not going to feel important to you until you do these things. I'm not going to feel, you know, X, Y, and Z unless you do A, B, C, right?
Right.
So right now it's causing you a lot of suffering.
That's correct.
And we want to feel like, and I know what's going through your head, like a lot of us are like, no, but I actually deserve, like no one wants to die alone. Everybody wants to have a companion. Like this is a valid need, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then in a relationship, I should have these valid expectations. Like it makes sense. We've been together 5.5 years. Come on, dude, shit or get off the pot, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But if you wanted that, you would say, shit or get off the pot. You'd say, move in with me or we're done. But there's a part of you that enjoys a lot of your relationship as well, right?
Yes.
And I would venture to guess there's a part of you that knows it's not really to your benefit to be having so much of how you feel reliant on his actions. That's why you're bringing it to coaching, right? Because you're like, I really want him to do this, but a part of me knows, like, is questioning, should I really want this or expect this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm telling you no, Like, it's not reasonable to expect this and make your happiness dependent on it. You can make the request, hey, buddy, it's been 5.5 years. I don't want to die alone. Like, I need some level of commitment here. For me, it would look like this. Do you have any better ideas? Because here's my idea of commitment. We plan on moving together on this date. And then if you don't, I'm going to have to go do something else. Like, a real boundary is not about, like, making that other person do something. It's not about punishing that person for not doing it. It's about what you're going to do if that boundary isn't held to.
Okay.
So you take him out of the equation, right? It's not like, oh, if you don't do that, I'm going to, like, be even more bitchy or da-da-da-da-da, then I'm going to make you do X, Y, and Z. It's like, okay, you need to get really clear about, like, is this really a boundary that you want to make a sort of take it or leave it type thing, like a non-negotiable? Because if it is, then the answer is simple, right? It's like, okay, this is what I want, and you can either meet it or not. Let me give you an example outside of yourself, because when you're in it, it can seem really hard to see this. So I had a client who was a strict Mormon, right? And she was like, I have to get married in the temple. I know you guys are like, what the fuck? A Mormon came to Utica? She likes her way too much. But anyway, she did. So she's like, okay, like, I really need to get married in the temple or something like that. Because here's the thing, right? The circumstance doesn't even fucking matter. So I don't know the details. But it's something about having to get married in the temple, or else, like, she doesn't have everlasting something or another with her husband. And I'm just like, oh, okay. So, and she goes, but he doesn't want to get married in the temple. And he's Mormon, too. He just doesn't believe in that part of it. And she's like, he doesn't want to get married in it, you know? And she's like, and this is a big fucking deal, because if we don't get married in the temple, I don't get to, like, have this afterlife thing. And I'm just like, okay, so find a new husband. And she's like, what? That is not an option. Like, and in Mormonism, like, you don't just, and I'm just like, well, no, like, if you're saying it's that important to you, then find someone else. But if you want to be with him, recognize that these limitations that you're putting on yourself are all in your head. And she's like, no. It's like in the Bible, like, it says this, or whatever, the Book of Mormon. Like, it's in the Book of Mormon, and, like, I have to, like, do this. And I'm like, that's just all in your fucking head, though, that you have to do it. Like, to someone else, the fact that it's written in that book, it doesn't matter to them. Like, so that thing being written in that book isn't, like, a hard and fast rule, because it doesn't apply to everyone. If it was, it would apply to everyone. You're choosing to let that apply to you, and it's creating this unrest. And so similarly for you, you're applying this rule that this is what it's supposed to look like, or this is what I need to be happy to him, which is fine. But then move on if it's that important and he doesn't want to do it. And if you want to stay with him, let go of it. Recognize it for what it is, which is something you can request and something that you can make clear is important to you. But then that's it. Like, no more suffering about it. No more making him feel guilty about it. It's like, you decide how important this is, right?
Right.
Because where we get all caught up in relationship is this whole manual thing. And I know that you and I have coached on this before about the manual. You know, we're like, you're supposed to behave like this. If you cared about me, this is what it would look like. but that's not true. There's nothing factual about that. Like, everybody has such wildly different ideas about it. I don't know if you guys ever watched the Sex and the City movie, which was totally crappy. Like, it wasn't that great. But, but you know, they're like, part of it is they end up, like, everybody's in their weird version of their relationship, right? Like, whatever the main character is, like, she ends up having her own apartment. And they don't live together all the time. Like, she has some days where she's just in her apartment doing her writing. And then another couple, like, he cheated on her, and then she, like, gets over it, and they, like, can continue. And there's, like, so many different variations of that. That's, like, one of the things I loved about the movie. I was like, yes, like, you get to define what's okay in a relationship. Because sometimes those shoulds come from other people. Well, if he really loved you, shouldn't you guys be married by now? Or, like, you know, those people asking you those kinds of questions, they, like, plant these seeds of doubt in our mind. And it's like, no, you get to decide. It's totally up to you. You get to decide what you want in this relationship, but like your reasons for it. So if you want to be with someone who's going to live with you, then make that really clear and have a boundary about it. But if you're, like, questioning, actually, I don't know if I'm willing to give him up just because of that, be honest with yourself. Like, are you sure you're not sacrificing a value that's really important to you? We all have different values too, right? There's no right value or wrong value. But this, like, maybe go back to the clarity part of the ZG course and do it in the context purely of your relationship. Like, what do I want from this relationship? What do I want it to look like? How much of this is just, like, wouldn't it be dreamy? And how much of it is like, no, like, I would really be compromising. And, you know, with relationship with women, it can get really touchy because we tend to sacrifice our own needs for men, right? Or our other partners. If you don't partner with men, you sacrifice it for the other person, or even at work. Oh, I am not going to do what I know I'm supposed to do, or I'm for myself because of work. And we're willing to give things up for other people. But then, you know, sometimes in relationship, when we try to create boundaries and hold our ground, we take it a bit too far. And in the beginning, you want to, because you're still practicing that, creating your own boundaries, getting your own needs met. But after a while, you know, when we reach emotional adulthood and we realize that other people's actions should not define our happiness, then you can get really clear, like, hey, this is actually about me, not me and him, not us. This is about me. What do I need to live my full purpose? Because everything else is just me making life harder for me, right? Me expecting him to do this and that is actually making life harder for me. What do I really need from a partner so that I can fulfill my goals? Because here's the thing, if you don't have a passion that you're working towards, you're just going to expect that partner to make you happy. You're just going to expect that partner to make you feel good. But if you have your own passion that you're working for and striving for, and your own purpose that you're living outside of the relationship, then it's about, how can this partner best support me? And that's what you need. If you know, like, if you need anything at all. So it's sort of like, and those things, you guys, tend to be very little. Those things that we actually need. And so, you know, Wendy, if part of your thing is not, you know, having that other thing, that next thing that you're going to want to do just because of your phase of life or wherever you're at, like, maybe that's part of it too, is really changing the focus from what your relationship should look like to, like, what you are wanting to achieve. And then instead of having what he does define your happiness, asking him, like, what you need to create that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that is part B of this whole thing, is that, you know, I mentioned to you in another session that I'm an artist, but I've lost my passion for that in some fashion, and it's really hard for me to get that back. I don't know where it went. So I think, and I know this is something that I really want I really want that passion towards something back in my life, and it's not coming easily. So that is a total another issue that I need to work on, which is probably affecting all of this other stuff.
Exactly. So, you know, one of the main take-homes, not just for Wendy, but for everyone, is, like, we really need to take back our power by not letting our happiness be reliant on other people's actions. Because sometimes we feel like power looks like, hey, I'm demanding this of you, and I'm stepping into my power, and you need to show up and do what I'm asking because I'm important, right? that's one way that power can look, but that's not really power because it's relying on this other person to follow through with something in order for you to feel good. So instead, you can make those requests, but in the meantime, take ownership of your own happiness and focus on your art and what it is you want to create so that the focus of your life isn't this person and what they're doing, right? And then you can more cleanly, from a clean place, look at this relationship and say, hey, like, you know what? This isn't actually meeting my needs. And you know it's not actually meeting your needs versus being in this mind fuck about like, well, I don't think you're meeting my needs, but I'm not sure that my needs are valid and blah, blah, blah. Like that's where you're kind of in right now. It's like, well, how much of this is like reasonable or not? And like, can I expect this or should I? Like when you are really coming from this place of feeling grounded in yourself and you know that you have your thing that you are working towards and that you have the ability to change how you feel by choosing thoughts that better serve you, then you can more clearly make these decisions about him. So I don't recommend coming to any kind of, well, I'm going to leave you now or any decision like that until you really have a visceral understanding that you create your happiness, that you create your happiness with your thoughts and that is possible. Because as long as you don't believe that, like you may intellectually understand it, but not yet totally believe it, if you don't believe that, if you leave him, you're always going to wonder if that was the right thing to do. And then you're also going to possibly repeat the same patterns in the next relationship. So it's really important to get clean about his role is not to make you happy, right?
Right. Yeah. And like
it sounds really fucked up. Yeah.
I know this. I know this. And like you said, it has to be a visceral thing. And that's what I'm struggling with right there is the visceral part of it.
Exactly. So what I would recommend is, you know, downloading that model worksheet that's in the module about thought work and doing a shit ton of them on different thoughts you have. Like pick a thought you have. So don't try to feel better yet. Don't try to change how you feel yet. You just need to show yourself right now how your thoughts are creating the way you feel. So I want you to like take out a piece of paper, write about how you're feeling about this right now. Just write about it. Oh, he said he was going to, and we like take this paragraph you wrote and pick some thoughts about it, right? Pick some thoughts that you have about this situation here. Like, oh, I must not mean a lot to him, or I must not blah, blah, blah. Like identify the thoughts that are creating all these fucked up feelings. And just the more you do it, the more you'll be like, oh my gosh, these are actually just my thoughts creating this. Because, and the tricky part that can happen here when you're like really stuck in the middle is making the circumstance neutral. So it's not like he doesn't want to move in with me, right? It's he lives in Seattle and I live in Spokane.
Right.
Right? It's like much more neutral. Like you really want to have the circumstance in that CTFAR worksheet, the circumstance, practice making that neutral too, because that is a really good worksheet for you. Because if you're still writing out thoughts, because we make mistakes that we think thoughts the circumstance. No, he really doesn't want to move in with me. Like that's the truth, right? And if you ask him, he might be like, no, it's just not that I don't want to move in with you. It's just that I like my job and I can't leave it yet. Like he can have a totally different thought about it. So that's how you know it's not neutral, right? If there's any emotional charge, if there's anything like that, and if it's an opinion or if it's emotionally charged, that's not yet a neutral circumstance. So practice making what's happening right now neutral. So like he is living there, you're living here, that's it. And then your thought about it is he doesn't want to live with me or he doesn't want to commit to me, whatever it is. And how does that make you feel? And it helps you start seeing, you know, whoa, I am creating this from this very neutral circumstance. I'm creating this whole story around it. And that takes work, you guys. This isn't something like, oh, okay, now I get it and I'm going to hang up and totally get it now. Like, you have to do the thought work, like do at least 10 of these a day around him. So when you wake up, Wendy, like do 10 of those worksheets about this person and try to make it, try to practice creating neutrality around the different situations. And the other thing is to pick really specific examples, not these big things like he doesn't want to move in with me. But like when I talked to him about this, like he said, quote, and then just put it in quotes. Because sometimes, you know, like they can just say something and then we make a big story about it. Just put literally the words, or he said some words, right? Give yourself very specific examples to work with, because sometimes when it's so broad, it's really hard to identify our thoughts. So like, you know, you gave an example here, like you looked at some houses and he didn't, right? Or he says he wants to live with me, but he doesn't see a way to make it happen or something. We looked at houses, but never solidified. Get really specific about one time we looked at this house and then this is what happened. Then create a neutral circumstance, identify one of your thoughts about it. Oh, he doesn't want to commit to me, or there he goes again doing the same thing. How do you feel about that? And just start identifying how your thoughts are creating your feelings. That's the first step, because if we only understand it intellectually, then we're not going to really buy into this whole idea, and then we're always going to default to, no, 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 I'm the special snowflake. This is the circumstance that doesn't actually fall into the model, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, is that helpful?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Very. I know it's not as easy as like, yeah, he's a fucker.
Nope.
Like he should have totally committed to you. But that's why you're here, is to do the work, to take back your ziji, to put your confidence and your happiness back into your own hands. Because guess what? That's all it is anyway. It's not like we're making something up here and saying, well, for the rest of the people, happiness is in other people's hands, but we're just these special people that are going to make it in our hands. No, this is like the reality for everyone, and everyone is happy as long as everybody's following their rules, and people get unhappy when people stop following their rules. That's the only reason people get unhappy, is when they expect something and things aren't going the way they want. They want things to be different than they are. You know, and this is in the spiritual traditions that are thousands of years old. It's like, hey, guys, people suffer when we expect to be able to control people and things outside of us, when really all we have control over is our response. And we can make requests and we can draw clear boundaries that we don't want to get crossed, but we should be really clear about why we're doing that. Is it just to protect ourselves because we don't want to feel hurt? Or is it to keep ourselves from having to create our own happiness and our own source of confidence, right? So really ask yourself that. Thank you, Wendy. And you know what? This is going to be ongoing work for you. So post in the Facebook group when you get blocked. Like if you can today, post a model for me in the Facebook group with the CTFAR. Just write it out, and then I'll tell you if I feel like that's a clean model and if you're on the right track, because it's really important to make sure that you're doing it the right way, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Anything else? Do you have any other questions?
I don't think so right now. I've got lots to do.
Yeah.
Around
this.
Okay. A lot.
Awesome. Okay, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? *2 to raise your hand, or you can type a question into the question answer box. Cindy is saying that was a great example. Thank you. That was very helpful, she said. Yeah, exactly. You guys learn a lot from coaching, from hearing other people get coached. Cindy, yeah. So how can I help you?
Hi there. I would like you to maybe help me shift my thinking on a situation I have coming up that I'm sort of have a little trepidation about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be visiting family for 12 days in December, and I'm really happy about that because I haven't seen a lot of these people for a while, and all that's really good. But out of the 12 days, there's these 3 hours that I will be exposed to someone that I want a punch in the face. It's the nicest thing I can think to say.
Okay.
And I would really, it's like, since I saw these people last, I have done a lot of inner work and I have grown tremendously. And I would really like to show up in that energy. Right? And not succumb to my desire to punch him in the face, basically.
Okay. So, like, from Wendy's example, we now know that your desire to punch him in the face comes from a thought, right? about something he will probably say or do or not do, right?
Yeah.
So I want to give you guys a really cool tool that I use before, like, teaching a webinar or going in for a podcast interview or something like that. I call it my, like, mini intention setting. And so what you do is you start off first by imagining what you're going to feel like walking into the room, okay? And you're going to also imagine the details of that. What are you going to wear? What is your posture? What is the room going to look like? But the most important thing is how you're going to feel, how you want to feel walking into that room. So you just said you've been doing a lot of work. You want to approach it from that place. So how is that? What is that feeling you want to have walking into the room, Cindy?
I want to wear my inner power like a cloak of invincibility.
Nice. So do you want to feel powerful, or how would you describe that as a feeling?
Invincible would be for his energy not to be able to touch me because I am so secure in my own vibration.
Yeah. So invincible or secure, which one lands better, invincible or secure?
Invincible.
Yes. I like that one too. I was hoping you'd say that. Okay. So invincible. So you're going to feel invincible walking through this room. And then you visualize it. You like close your eyes. You're like, here I am. Ooh, I'm feeling invincible. I'm going to open that door. Hello. I'm Cindy and I'm feeling invincible, right? Like you're feeling it in your bones. Then what you do is you visualize what's going to happen during the event. So, you know, when I do this, I visualize them asking me questions. I don't even have specifics about what those questions are, but I visualize people asking me questions, me giving these like really awesome responses. And again, how I'm feeling during, right? So for me, like maybe I want to feel on fire. I want to feel like totally plugged in to my source, like I'm downloading this. So like, how do you want to feel during it? And by the way, the feeling can be the same throughout, but I just like to check in because sometimes it changes. So during this whole 3 hours, how do you want to feel?
I liked what you said about being connected to source. Like I'm on fire, like I'm just downloading. So yeah, connected, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right? Because it's almost like when you're connected to source, you can take a more objective perspective to what's happening, right? Because you're plugged in, you know what's quote-unquote reality when you're plugged into source. And then so when that person says or does stuff or just is who they are that triggers you, you can even see your own emotions from that place of observer. Because you're plugged into search. You're like, oh, look at that. Interesting how that is causing my heart to race. Oh, isn't that interesting? I'm totally feeling insecure right now. But you are not insecure. It's just a feeling passing through you, right?
Yes.
So feeling plugged into source. Or however you want to describe that feeling for yourself. Okay, then you picture the whole thing in detail, right? Like picture him being annoying or whatever it is, the stuff he does, and how you're going to respond to it, right? So picture him saying something ridiculous or doing something ridiculous, and maybe you picture an ideal thing like, oh, that doesn't even faze me. Or maybe you're like, oh, it does. I feel something, but look, I'm not even reacting to it. I'm just seeing it as a visceral reaction, right? I'm looking at it as an observer as opposed to it being who I am, okay? Then you visualize in detail what's going to happen as you walk out that door. You know, so for me with the podcast, what's going to happen when we say, thanks, that was awesome, bye, click. How do I feel? What's happening at that moment, right? Like, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go, fuck yeah, that was awesome. I crushed it. Yeah. You're going to feel amazing. So it's like you're going to walk out the door at 11 o'clock or whatever time it is. How do you want to feel walking out that door?
I want to feel like I crushed it. Like I showed up in my power and nobody was able to throw me off balance. And I can just be the observer. I love that. It's like I can see my emotions happening without being my emotions. Yes.
Yes. That is so huge, right? This is why I think language is so important. So like, you know, if someone's posting in the Facebook group, like, I'm sad or I'm depressed. It's like, no. You're feeling it. You're experiencing sadness. You're experiencing depression. It's like, it is those things, not who you are. And so keep that in mind, okay? So I crushed it. You're walking out the door. You're like, yes. You're visualizing exactly what's going to happen. Then the last step is to imagine what is the best possible outcome. Not that this person doesn't show up, but what's the first possible outcome if that person's there? Like visualize the best possible outcome, because if you can't imagine it, it can't possibly happen. So you're by purely imagining the best possible outcome, you're creating the possibility of it happening. So do that. So what would be the best possible outcome?
The best possible outcome would be that he has grown spiritually since I saw him last, and he apologizes to his mother for his behavior. That's the best possible outcome. But since I am the only one that I'm talking about here, I am just going to feel calm and vital and centered and whole.
Yeah. I love how you noticed that initially it was about his actions, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And so this is the stuff we do, everyone, right? We're like, oh, like putting my stuff onto, like, the best possible outcome is the world does exactly what I want it to.
Exactly.
Right? Which is fine. It's okay to imagine that. Like, because again, it wouldn't be possible, right? So that's why. And to notice, like, and what's the best possible outcome if I couldn't control everything that the world did? So I love having that as maybe a part A and a part B. Like, okay, if like literally the world could do everything that I wanted it to, this is what it would look like. And what is the best possible outcome if I can't control what everybody does? Right? Mm-hmm. So I love that. Yeah, so now you practice this, right? You know, there are stories, y'all, of people like in prisoner of war camps, right, who like visualize playing golf every day because they have nothing fucking else to do. And then they get home after not playing a lick of golf, and they're like playing better than they ever did because of the way that they visualize stuff. Our brains have a very hard time knowing the difference between a visualization and something actually happening. So as you practice these visualizations, you're actually imprinting this into your brain that it's possible. You're imprinting yourself. And, you know, in Buddhism, in tantric stuff too, you have a lot of visualizations. Like you visualize yourself as a Buddha. You visualize yourself. And you know why? Because thousands of years ago, they recognized the power of this as well. They're like, hey, if you visualize yourself as this amazing being, you are going to be that amazing being a hell of a lot faster. So if you visualize yourself doing all those things in whatever your next thing is, so like Wendy, you could do this for when you have your next conversation with your partner, right? You visualize this and your brain is going to be more aligned and your actions are going to be more aligned. So you visualize the details and you conjure up the feeling. You create that feeling that you want to feel in that moment. So that when you have that feeling, your cells, it's almost like you can physically feel your cells in your body aligning. All right, Cindy, I see somehow, let me see, somehow you got muted again. Okay, there you are. Yes, what else did you want to say?
No, that was perfect. Exactly what I needed. Thank you so much. I feel like so much more empowered to walk in there and be myself without letting him control my energy. So awesome.
You are so welcome. Okay. Yeah, you guys. And the cool thing about visualization, you know, it's a tool we can use to practice, right? We can practice because oftentimes we don't practice being in conflict with our partner. We just get into conflict with our partner, for example, and then we're in it again. And it's like, fuck, I wish I had a chance to like practice having conflict with you so that like I could show up better the next time. And one way you can do that is to visualize, to role play. You know, sometimes like even if you have a friend that you can practice it with, like here's what I'm going to say and like here's how I'm going to respond, like say this and then I'm just going to practice how I'm going to respond to that. You know, actually practice. But if you're by yourself, the visualization can really help with that. All right, star 2 to raise your hand or type in a question in the Q&A box. This is so juicy. I love this, especially as the holidays come up. I'm going to be doing a blog post about this, but now I'm thinking I should probably do a little webinar to teach people like how to deal with difficult people. I'm going to write that down. I'm going to do it. I think it'll be perfect timing for the holidays. All right, star 2 to raise your hand. Yes. 8161, I've unmuted you. Hello.
Hello, and you just said a magic word there about how to deal with difficult people. In my experience, you can do everything correctly in terms of approaching them the way the books say you should. If somebody's not going to talk to you, they're not going to talk to you. If they're going to throw their hands across their chest and say, I don't want to hear it, it's over. It's done. And what you do is you say, oh, okay, well, that was done. And in my case, you live 3 years of misery about this. But basically, the whole idea of talking to difficult people is bananas as far as I'm concerned.
You mean you're saying, like, when people are really difficult and they're just sort of stonewalling you?
Yeah, that's stonewalling is exactly right, because these are people who already know everything. Well, these are also people who read my mind, which I have found interesting. But it makes them extremely special, of course. But, and therefore, they're that special. They have the right to stonewall. No, I'm saying that this whole idea of dealing with difficult people, as I say, I guess I'm using the word difficult as for the extreme cases.
Yeah, yeah. And your connections. Oh, go ahead, Katrina. Yeah.
No, I was just thinking of the extreme cases, quote unquote. If they don't want, then clearly what the message is that what I have to say or who I am is not important to them in their realm, which is fine, and that's a good way to learn it. And one might wish one had learned it some time before one did finally learn it. But again, how do you talk to difficult people? If people don't want to hear you and don't want to,
you don't talk to them.
Want to engage. Exactly.
Yeah. Right. And so you know, one important thing to notice there is that, you know, what I have to say isn't important to them is a thought. You know, like you could also have the thought, oh, they're like not like, you know, and another extreme example would be like, oh, they like have no idea what they're missing. Right.
Well,
so like we can have
that exactly, but it's a thought, and both are thoughts, and I have had both thoughts at various times, of course. But in terms of the outcome, they're missing something. I don't mean to be putting myself down. I'm just saying that within the relationship, the significance.
Yeah.
The significance of my participation in it, or the significance of their participation in it, because they would be half of or 16th of whatever of the relationship, depending on how many people are involved. It's a thought. It's definitely a thought. But it's an indicator of the overall value of the relationship, really.
Well, that's a thought, too. So can you phrase what you're saying in the form of a question?
The question that leaps to mind is the how might I have approached the situation differently? But that puts all the blame and weight on me because that's not reasonable. You don't. Women are consistently put down because they didn't say it right. They didn't ask it right. Oh well, if you said it differently, of course I would have reacted differently. You know, all that kind of crap. I don't know how to phrase
right.
it. How do you? Well, the question would be, how do you make someone listen to you? The answer is, you don't.
Exactly. So I just want to address something you said there because it relates to what I was saying earlier to Wendy about how, you know, we do need to take ownership that we create our reality, right? But
right.
women for so long have been, you know, patriarchy is real. And, you know,
oh boy,
women
yes,
have been told that our voice doesn't matter. We've been told in relationships to put the family's needs first and all of that. And it's how we're using our thoughts and our mind that's important. Like, you know, it's not patriarchy per se that was oppressing women. It was what our thoughts that we had growing up in patriarchy that led to our different behaviors and our passive behaviors. Because some women grew up in patriarchy and had different thoughts about it.
Some women grew up in patriarchy and had different thoughts and different options. Some
yeah.
of us, is there, people in various levels of patriarchy have different options within that because, and I won't go into what the options might be, but women who don't have other options, when you grow up in patriarchy, seeing no options for yourself other than to play into it to survive, the people who are bringing
yeah.
you up have the
yeah.
responsibility because they are. They do have the power over you. They have the power. When you're a child, the people bringing you up have the power of life and death over you. It's not a mystery. There's nothing you can do about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So that's when those thoughts get imprinted, right? So when we're
exactly.
growing up, we take on the thoughts of our parents and our society because we're in survival mode. And we're like, this is what I need to do to ensure that people still feed me and they don't hit me or yell at me or ostracize me, right? And
right,
so,
exactly.
So it's like, so that's where our thoughts come from. But now that we're adults, we need to recognize that shit's not true anymore. It's like, hey, wait a second. That's actually not true anymore. So when you're saying, like, you know, the...
It may or may not be true anymore at a given point in your life, depending on what kind of environment you find yourself in making a living or not.
Well, yeah, like those are a bunch of tangents that we can go off on, but I want to stick with
right. But what I'm saying, but the other thing you can do if you're in a crappy situation in work where you have to suck up to some whatever a patriarchal kind of creature, you do have your time at home to say, okay, I left it there. Jack is there. He is not here.
Right, and you have the ability to have different thoughts about what's happening. You can have a thought, for example, poor me, I'm at this shitty job with a shitty boss, like in this oppressive situation. Or you could be like, I'm really proud that I'm bringing home the bacon and meeting my needs and I'm looking for the next thing so that I can, you know, create a more healthy environment for me to be in. Both of those things are still in the same circumstance, but they're creating different feelings and then creating in different actions and different results.
And so,
you know, I find that the extreme examples are always helpful here because often people think like, no, there's like really these situations that really are fucked up and we don't have control over how we feel. And, you know, that's when I love to
remember situations.
What's that?
You can always have control over your attitude and your thoughts and your situation. In my particular case, I exercised that, always looking at the beneficial side of things, and wasted a good 17 or 20 years of my life. I'll use the word fooling myself. That's not necessarily, because that's a subjective statement too, but sometimes when you focus on positive or create positive thoughts, at least in my case, it held me back.
Right. And here's the missing piece. And this is really important for all of you to hear. You can't just have positive thoughts. You have to take action that moves you towards what you want. So, you know, if you're in a relationship, if you're in a relationship that's really toxic and you're doing your work so that you at least feel better while you're in it, you also need to be taking action to move you towards a less toxic situation. So it's not just about like changing how you feel and changing your thoughts, but then changing your action. And remember, in the model, if you go back to that module, CTFAR, it's circumstances, thoughts, feelings. So you don't just stop at feeling better. What are you going to do now? What kind of action does that new feeling drive? And if the action is inaction, like you're not doing the things to get you out of that situation, then you need to change on creating a different feeling. Because some people create a feeling of like just acceptance or defeat or like I'm okay, I'm content, right? And it's like that's not going to help. Go ahead.
How do you learn what action to take? If everything you've done, this is a question I've had, and I have had some problems with keeping up with things. So maybe there was a thing there that would teach me how to do things. But the thing I've always wondered, in the last few years, I've been wondering, okay, if actions I take produce unsatisfying results, how do I know what actions to take will produce what results? It's that old thing of, well, you made a mistake. You live and learn. Well, what was the mistake?
Right.
How do I how do I know what it was, the mistake, what it was that I did wrong? In other words, this is the thing. So if I'm dealing with people, one person would have thought what I said was funny. The other person thought it was horrendous.
What's your desired result? Is your desired result to please people?
Yeah, to get what I want. I don't know what action to take. In other words, okay, fine. I can say this is not pleasing me, so I will leave. I'll go someplace else. Where else do I go?
Yeah. So you're not going to know the actions you want to take unless you're really clear about the result you want. So that's why in ZG we start with clarity, because once you're clear about what you want, then you know what you need to do. And then sometimes we make a mistake about what actions we choose, and that's okay. But the way you know what actions to take is like, what is it I want to create? So for example, like if I want, you know, a happier marriage, I need to, you know, work on my patience, and I need to, you know, like say thank you more often, or I need to like do these certain actions, right? Or I need to create some boundaries around time, or whatever it is. You have to sit there and think about like, what are the things that would take to create the results I want? But you can't just like walk through the world and what's that?
You're back to the difficult people. I'll just give you the example. I'll tell you why I'm laughing. I was just left, which turns out to have been a good thing, by someone who accused me at the top of his lungs of something 15 years ago that he never said a thing. It never bothered him. Not word one. Had no idea. So back to the difficult people, you have to know what you're dealing with in order to, or you've got a better chance of fixing things or making things better if you know what, as you say, do I need to be more patient? I don't know. If somebody's complaining that I'm impatient, I suppose I do, but would that cross my mind if no one's ever complained about that?
No. You need to be clear about what you want, not what someone else wants. Not their behavior.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But that's what you're saying. What you're saying is if a person wants to work on their marriage, they want to look at what to do. The example you used was, should I be more patient? That's why I used that.
That was for me. That was for me, taking into account my specific partner.
Oh,
right?
Okay. You, okay.
And so,
you, So you had guidelines there that made you think that. Okay.
I have my own guidelines, and you know, but more importantly than that, like, having a better relationship is all about your response to them. It's not about getting them to feel a certain way, getting them to do certain things, right? And so dealing with difficult people, is about exactly what you said earlier, your thoughts and your reactions to them. It's not about trying to predict what they would want or
I misunderstood what you were saying about the patience. But in my case, and then I'm back to difficult people. If difficult people, for whatever reason, will not talk, will not communicate, then you can't communicate with them. There's no way to talk to people who
Well,
talk to them.
I don't know about you, but if I'm trying to talk to someone and they don't want to talk, I'm like, bye. Like, no, like, I wouldn't be with someone, first of all, who didn't want to hear what I had to say.
That's fine if you have options. We're back to the options.
Okay. So then if you have to stay with someone who's like that, if your thought is, I don't have an option to leave this person, then you have to change your reaction to it. Like, okay, that's just how they are. I'm going to stop making them listen. Yeah. So we're saying the same thing.
No, I understand what you're saying. I can't give you the whole picture. I know what you're saying. And, yeah, I absolutely did stop thinking about anybody talking to them, you know, and you just don't know. But if this person won't talk to you, you also can't know what it is that might make things better.
Right.
Okay.
You can't read other people's minds. You can tell, you know is how you can make it better. What you can do
for
is
you.
Know how to
right.
make it better for yourself. And that's all that fucking matters.
Well, this is true if you know how to make it. Right, exactly. And what I'm saying, I understand that. But I'm going back to the thing you said at the beginning of when I pushed the star two, which was that you started talking about how to deal with difficult people, and that's when I came in with, if the person doesn't want to be dealt with, you can't, which takes it right back to, you can't make anybody else do anything.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, I'm in 100% agreement.
Right, so
What's
if you want to go ahead and talk about how to deal with difficult people. No, that's what it, when I star-tuned it, that's an interesting verb. When I star-tuned it, it's a very interesting verb. You were beginning the conversation about how to deal with difficult people. I interrupted you. Please go on.
Oh, no, that's okay. All right, so I'm just going to wrap it up here. But thank you, Katrina. So, like, our take-home is basically, right, when, like, we can't control people's actions, you can't just say, like, well, this person doesn't want to listen to me. What do I do about it? Nothing. Like, you're like, okay, like, that, like, I'm done with it, okay? Like, you don't try to force people to take an action. Now, in terms of like, oh, wait, I see someone's raising their hand again. Yeah, did you have one more thing to add?
No, I thought too because I thought that would mute it again.
Oh, okay. Nope, you're good. All right. So keep that in mind. Like with difficult people, right, in terms of dealing with difficult people, the only reason that they're difficult is because they're not following our manual. So we take ownership over having a manual and expecting someone to follow that manual. All of us adults get to be how we want to be and do what we want to do. That's like we're adults, as long as it's not causing physical harm to someone or impinging on someone else's freedom, right? And so when you have difficult people in your life, the way you deal with it is taking ownership over how you're showing up, and that you can walk away from that interaction with that person with a sense of pride about how you showed up and a sense of empowerment and confidence about how you showed up. Having that VG, like, bring it on. You know, I'm like, hey, like, difficult people, fine. Like, I've done this work for so long. Like, Ask me difficult questions on a podcast. Ask me difficult questions on the call. It's fine. And so, like, when you have that mentality versus, like, uh-oh, a difficult person, you know, what's going to happen? That creates an unhelpful feeling, which leads to usually unskillful actions or inaction. So visualize when you are going to deal with a difficult person, how you want to show up and how you want to feel, because that is going to help you feel better about how you showed up, because that's really what's happening is we create stories in our head about an interaction. How did this interaction go? How did that interaction go? And then we create a story about it, and then we judge ourselves for how it went, right? So the most you can ask for is to show up as your best self, and that's it. And then whatever else somebody else does, whatever that quote-unquote difficult person does, is them. No matter what type of circumstance you're in, you know, this is why people in prisoner of war camps can leave saying, like, I actually benefited from that experience. This is why people who are raped as a child say, oh my gosh, actually, if that hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't be the person who I am today. And so in a way, it was a gift. Like, people turn difficult, very difficult situations around and make it something that they grow from, and something that's empowering and that's available to us at any time. Instead of asking, why is this happening to me? We can ask, why is this happening for me? This does not mean that, you know, negative actions that hurt other people are excusable or that we should be okay with it. It just means that if it happened, you can turn it around by asking different questions and telling yourself different thoughts, okay? So I'm going to jam about commitment on the next call then, because we're going to be in the commitment week and we had so many great questions. So we have reached our time. So thank you all. And I'm looking forward to this next week of commitment and taking action. Going to be awesome. All right. You take care, everyone. If you want to listen to the replay, it's going to be in the webinar section. All right. Have an excellent week and weekend. Bye.